At this time, we'll introduce our next speaker, Brother Pantel Hedges of the New York City Ecclesia. He has chosen for his topic, The Signs of the Times. I think we are all interested in that topic because our Lord Jesus said that in the end time, during the second coming of Christ and before the establishment of his great mediatorial kingdom, there will be signs in the times that the Lord's people will recognize that the kingdom is shortly to be established. So we're happy to hear that Brother Pantel Hedges will speak to us on that very important topic that the Lord's people should be considering now, the near establishment of God's kingdom. We have asked Brother Hedges to feel free to sit down at any time if he is tired, but he's going to start out sitting up. So Brother Pantel, Brother Pantel Hedges, The Signs of the Times. We're waiting to hear it, Brother Pantel.
Thank you, Brother Michael. We are very happy, my family, Sister Hedges, Ruth, Agape, and Debbie, to be here. And all we was praying, as you too, for the blessings of the Lord. The Lord blessed us with the talk of Brother Frank Shalou. And this is my topic, the signs of the time. Where we are in the stream of time, where we are and where we fare as the Lord's people. We know the gospel age as set aside for selection of the church, a people for his name, to be perfected and to be with the Lord, reigning for 1,000 years for the blessings of the whole world of mankind. We also know that all the works of the Lord are perfect, as we read in Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock. His works are perfect, for all his ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right he is. All the works of the Lord is perfect. Psalms 104:24. O Lord, how manifold are thy works. In wisdom hast thou made them all. The earth is full of thy riches. Just to those two thoughts, that God is perfect, his works are perfect, the whole earth are manifested his works. From whom you going to start when you look the perfection of everything upon the earth? Man cannot match the works of the Lord. Observe the declaration of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his Son. When the fullness of the time has come, what fullness of the time? From where are you going to start? God did all his work done exactly, precisely, on time. The fullness of the time, the starting point is the 70 weeks of Daniel. In the middle of the 70 week, Christ has been to cut off. And since that time, it's measurement. When the fullness of the time came, God sent his Son. Not before, not last, and late. Jesus' birth, his birthplace, his ministry, the duration of his ministry, his death, the manner of his death, the resurrection, even the hour that he was dying. What manner of death, dying, all was foretold centuries ago by his holy prophet. We are not let in darkness the life of Christ ministry upon the earth. Where he was born, how he was faring his ministry, the death he is going to die, everything was minutely foretold. Observe what we read in Exodus 12:40-41. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwell in Egypt and Canaan, the 70s, was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the same self day, it came to pass that all the host of the Lord went out from the middle of Egypt. The same self day, after 430 years. Precisely. God does his work on time schedule. Do you doubt for a moment that his second presence that will be in a haphazard way, just in twinkling of the eye, they will come down, everybody is going to see him, they will tremble, he will take the church, he will bless every member of the church, he destroyed the nations, and then he opened, established his kingdom. That's the way you think it? I don't think so, you think that way. The works of God is perfect. Time schedule. Not in the twinkling of the eye. The twinkling of the eye will be the translation from earthly to divine nature. Observe also the time of the deluge in the days of Noah. We read in Genesis 6:3, and the Lord said to Noah, obviously, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he is flesh. Let his days shall be, yet his days shall be 120 years. And the Lord said unto Noah, make thee an ark of gopher. And he gave details how to make the ark. Do you doubt 120 years before that Noah, when he told, God told him how to make the ark in order to be saved, he and his family, do you doubt that Noah said, well, 100 years we have plenty of time? Or do you think that Noah immediately started to build the ark? I think so. Noah did not let a minute. And this is the way Peter translated and think about what Noah did. Peter, 2 Peter 2:5, and spare not the old world, but save Noah, the eighth person, preacher of righteousness. What Noah did, do you think that he was idle, building the ark and he was staying there? No, he didn't say nothing in Genesis, but Peter said here, he was preacher of righteousness, building his ark and also preaching. What you do? What we do? The Don does the same thing. The New Brunswick does the same thing. The New Jersey class does the same thing. The Greek class does the same thing. In Connecticut, in every place, we advertise. We herald the kingdoms, the hope of the world. We build up ourselves in honesty, in truthfulness, in separated from the world, but yet preaching the good tidings to the world. Noah was building his ark and also was preacher of righteousness. He didn't say idle. 1 Peter 3:20, which sometime the people with disobedience, when once the long suffering of God waited in the days of Noah. This impressed me how Peter translated the thoughts of God in the times of Noah. 120 years, he used the word the long suffering of God. Waiting. But he was waiting the days of Noah. The days of Noah, Noah preached repentance. And if the people in the time of Noah will repent, he will save the world. But they did not listen to the preaching of Noah. And the long suffering, 120 years, long suffering for the angels and for the people in that time, that every flesh has corrupted his ways, except Noah. Genesis 7:11, 13, and 16. The same day that was the day, the 600 years of Noah's life, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the same self day entered Noah in the ark. When Noah and his family entered the ark, and the ark, Peter say, is Christ. Faith in Christ. We are in Christ. We can go out. Who shut the door? Noah went in and God shut the door. Who are you and who are me to say that the door of the ark is shut? God does that. And verification of that is in Revelation, the 7th chapter, 3rd chapter 7, when we read, he opened it, and no one can close. And he closed, and no one can open it. It's the Lord's doing. He selected people from all nations in order to be people for his name. And he will close the door of the high calling. Not you, and not me, and not anybody else. Jesus said one of the signs of his second presence will be like the days of Noah. Matthew 24:37. As in the days of Noah were, so shall also be the presence of the Son of Man. I like to stay here a little bit to emphasize, not to elaborate more, but to emphasize. As in the days of Noah, the condition was ungodly, ignorance, violence, immorality. Only Noah's family was pure of the stock of the human race. Everyone has corrupted his way. Everyone. Millions and millions, and only 8 people. What a wonderful type of the Lord's people. The people who God select from all nationalities, 19 or 2,000 years since Pentecost. People for his name. One here, one there. Here in New Jersey, it was maybe a million people. And how many we are here? 200. From different places. Only few, little flock. How precious are those people who God selects for his name. Jesus also said the way that Luke, in the 17th chapter, 26 and 32, in the days of his presence will be the condition upon the earth like Sodom and Gomorrah. And Peter elaborates in this condition, 1 Peter 2, 6 to 8, and turning the cities of the Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemn them with an overthrow, making them an assembly into those that after should live ungodly in the kingdom, and delivered just Lot, the just Lot, vexed with filthy conversations of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, who vexed with righteousness soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. What Lot did, what he sees and what he feels in the time in Sodom and Gomorrah, he was terrible. What we see today, the same thing. We are in the same condition as Lot was in Sodom and Gomorrah. The media take newspaper every day. Rapes, burglars, violence, killing. You are not safe where to go. My family has spent $3,000 each, we in Agape's home, for burglar alarm. Agape confronted 2 years ago face to face with a burglar. He was trying to open, force the door in the back door. Agape went in with the garage. When the burglar saw the garage door open, just a few minutes, the door will be open. And Agape, when he saw the man came to his car in driveway. And he said, "Where are you going? What are you doing here?" He didn't say nothing. He went out. Few minutes, if I was late, Agape would confront him in the house. Can you be safe in any place? Where we are in this stream of time? We are exactly in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Immorality. Jesus looked in the 17th chapter, said, when he revealed us in the days of Noah and in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, Jesus inserted few words. Remember, life, the wives, the, how is, you say, remember Lot's wife. Why Jesus said, remember Lot's wife? And he did not elaborate, neither the evangelist. What Lot's wife did, just look back. What that signifies? Oh, the Bible don't say nothing, but you have to read on the lines. In Hebrews, Paul, he said, those that are in the Lord and turn back, the Lord said, my soul is not pleased. Anyone who is in the ark, how can he go out? Those that they went out from Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Lord said, don't look back. But the Lord, Lot's wife, turned back. Why? Oh, you can talk till tomorrow morning. Different thoughts. Why she turned back? But the thought is to stay in the ark. Well, when we go out, not to look back again. Once you was called and you will reveal the truth, the beautiful truth, the work that the Lord does for 2,000 years for the little flock, the truth that you have, you appreciate. And if you turn back, the soul of the Lord is not pleased. I received a letter from Greece, and that, I'm telling you, is 1979 when I formulate this talk. A little girl, 70 years old, and this what he said, she said in a sentence. I go to high school and I observe that the youth disregard about ethics, about God, about law and order, with a trend to anarchy. I cannot understand them. I pray that the Lord protect me from this terrible condition. A girl, 15 years old, from advertised in Greece, in one place, her father found the pamphlets, we sent the pamphlets, and the little girl read the pamphlets, and she wrote a letter, and this is the letter. She goes to school, and she could not understand the youth, the way that they talk, the way that they live, atheist, immorality. Jesus foretold the time that we are now. In Luke 21:22, he said, "For these are the days of vengeance, that all things which are written may be fulfilled." What was written? Let me jot down this. In Zephaniah 3:8, we read, "Wait upon me, said the Lord, until the day that I rise up to the prey. For my determination is to gather the nations, that I may assemble the kingdoms, to pour upon them mine indignation, even all my fierce anger. For all the earth shall be devoured with the fire of my jealousy." Exactly those words Jesus repeated in Matthew 24 verse. Nations upon nations and kingdoms upon kingdoms. Exactly the words. Exactly what that the Lord does today among us. Can we see that? Nations against nations and kingdoms against kingdoms. From 1914, we are in this condition now. Kingdoms against kingdoms. Nations against nations. Perplexity. Like Jesus said, the bank of the woman in travail. Exactly. Paul repeated that. In Daniel 12:1, we read, "And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since he was a nation, even today." There never will be. The great superpowers, United States and Russia, have a means, have the power to destroy the whole earth 100 times and more. That's the scientists said. You know that. You have heard that. It's not mine. And the scientists know more than you and me. And they are troubled in perplexity. And they try desperately in order to induce the superpowers to come to terms. Otherwise, if they unleash what they have, the power, they can destroy. And Jesus said, "And never will be again. And if that time will never be shortened, no flesh will be saved." Friends, 1921, when I came in the truth, that's a long time ago. I never understand how this verse is going to be fulfilled. No flesh is going to be saved if not curtailed, cut in the middle. No flesh will be saved. I cannot understand. I said with bombs, with the microbe and bacillus and things like that, or sickness, I cannot understand every flesh. But when the atomic bomb in Hiroshima 1945 was exploded, 35, 45, when Then it came to my mind, oh, now, with the atomic bomb, if they use, no flesh will be saved. The whole earth will be devoured. So we have the days of Noah. We have the great time of trouble. And we are in the midst of those signs. Do we see that? Or, as Zwingli said to Luther, you close your eyes in the middle of the day. You cannot see that the emblem, when Jesus said, this is my flesh and this is my blood, he means the emblem, not his own flesh, to be a cannibal, to eat, to chew flesh and to drink blood, forbidden by the law. You are blind. You are sleeping during the day. That was an emblem, not his own blood and his own flesh. Is metaphorical. Those that believe is a belief, not natural eating. Can we see that? Yes, we are in the middle of that. Another great sign that we are in today is the fig tree blossoming. The Jewish nation are depicted as a fig tree, also as the olive tree, and also as a vineyard. I'm not going to, you are familiar with those parables. Jesus came and found no fruit in the vineyard, no fruit in the fig tree. And he asked to be cut down. And the husbandman said, let one more year. 3 years, he said, I'm waiting for fruit. 3 years, let 1 year more. He let 1 year more, 3.5 years. And 3.5 years more, no fruitage was brought. But now, we read that double has received from the hands of the Lord. And Jesus spake to them parable, saying, behold, the fig tree and all the trees, when they shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is at night at hand. Depicting the Jewish nation. In another time, Jesus came from one town, from Bethany, with his disciples in the morning, and he was hungry, and he saw a fig tree. And he went to take fruit from the fig tree and find none. And Jesus cursed the fig tree and immediately withered out. And the disciples immediately was in askance, how? The fig tree withered in a few minutes. Because they did not bring forth fruit. But in Zephaniah and also in Zechariah 9:12 we read, turn you to the stronghold of the tower, ye prisoners of the hope. Even today I declare that I will render double unto you. But also in Isaiah 41:2, comfort ye, said the Lord. To whom? Comfort ye. To whom the Lord spoke or speak? Ye. Who are ye? Comfort ye, my people. I think and I believe, you believe too, that is the Lord's people. The people of today who have the truth. When he recognize the people of God, recognize the times that we live. He said to them, Comfort ye, speak ye comfortable to Jerusalem, and cry unto her. What that? That her welfare, disfavor, and humility is accomplished. Why? For she hath received of the Lord's hand double. She hath received the double. And now, the favor is coming back. That favor started from Jacob's death until 33 A.D. When Jesus said, thy house been left desolate. The double, 1845 years, ended in 1878 in Berlin's conference. We read that. Berlin Conference of Nations, the war between Turkey and Russia, and many European countries came there to formulate a peace treaty between Russia and Turkey. A great figure was there, the Prime Minister of England, Disraeli, who was degreed by the government of England and the King and conferred him the title Lord Beaconsfield. He was a Jew. But yet they make him a lord in account of his ability serving the country. There in Berlin, he demanded free Palestine. And the Turkey compelled to open the doors for the Jews to go in. From 135 A.D., Adrian, the emperor of Rome, forbidden a Jew to live in Palestine. Now, after the double, after the favor of God, turn to Israel, to the fig tree, blossoming, open the door in Palestine. Theodor Herzl, we read from the Encyclopedia Britannica, the word Herzl, this, and I quote, Herzl experienced in Paris during the Dreyfus affair and trials changed the whole outlook life. He was deeply hurt by the anti-Semitism in the homeland of the Great Revolution in France, and whom he drew the conclusion that only the establishment of a Jewish state should solve Jewish problem. To propagate these ideas, he published in 1896 his famous pamphlet, Der Deutschstaat, translated in English, The Jewish State. End of the quotation. And Herzl was the first one who bought lands in Palestine for the immigration. Zionist movement started. Fishermen and hunters in Jeremiah's prophecy start to have the fulfillment. 1903, Uganda offered home for Israel. 1914, Dr. Wasserman, a chemist in England, first president of Israel in 1948. He found the acetone and secure a promise from the government of England for a homeland of the Jewish nation. 1914 to 1917, the First World War, the Jews fought with English soldiers and with General Allenby and liberated Palestine from the Turks. There is an anecdote, and I'm going to read. General Allenby with Jews and the soldiers of the Allied soldiers marched in Jerusalem, 1917. And when the Turks saw a man riding in a white ass, And they ask, who is that man, Alembi? They thought that the A-L means God. They thought that Allah was writing in Jerusalem. Panically, they did not fight a shot and let the doors open, and Alembi got in Jerusalem without any shot. 1920, England, protector of Palestine by consent of the League of Nations. Churchill curtailed the immigration of the Jewish to Palestine. 1929, Arabs revolted and killed 135 Jews. 1933, first pogrom in Germany, Hitler in power. 1935, the Jews lost their citizenship in Germany. Decreed secret immigration of the Jews to different countries, even to the United States. 1945 to 46, the Holocaust of the Jews started. 6 million Jews were slaughtered. Jeremiah's prophecy fulfilled. Hunters and fishers. 1948, May 8, Israel proclaimed a nation among the nations by the United Nations. And so on. So Jeremiah 4:30-33, we read, and I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall conquer them, possess them by fighting. And this what they do. We are in the middle of those conditions. 1951, Jerusalem proclaimed capital of Israel. 1966, war with Egypt. 1973, Yom Kippur fight Egypt against Israel. 1974, petition by Arabs to United Nations to expel Israel, fail. 1979, peace treaty signed in Washington with Israel and Egypt. In Isaiah 19:25, we read a wonderful statement. When Gog and Magog will come down to Jerusalem to violate the women and take the Jerusalem, it's a future. Yet we can see it. How is developed? When many nations will go against Jerusalem, Gog and Magog, Persians, Ethiopians, not Egypt. The most implacable enemy to the Jews was Egypt, but not here. Why? Well, the Dawn wrote an article, and that is in the Dawn magazine, right here, April 79, 1979. In that article in the Dawn, we read, here we hasten to say that wise Bible students have often said in the past, prophecy is more readily understood after fulfillment than before. At this time, we do not know what will happen when Jerusalem is going to be invaded. End of the quotation. And that's why I say, prophecies that is pending, we don't know. Maybe we guess. But prophecies that has been fulfilled and we are in the middle, we have no excuse to ignore. Because we are in the middle of those prophecies. Closing, people, they wanted a teacher to be taught in their own way. I have clipped One anecdote. In the United States, in some Middle West city, they advertise for a teacher, Sunday school teacher. One that they had passed away, and the committee wanted a school teacher, Sunday school teacher. And they advertise in the newspaper, and this is the advertisement. We need a school teacher to teach the school, Sunday school children should be, to have a knowledge of the Bible, to be honest, to have good credentials, to be able to teach. So the secretary, after the waiting and received a few letters, they assembled together the committee and to read the letters. So the secretary started to read one letter after the other and after the other, and the committee refused, all of them, disqualified for one reason and the other. So the chairman said, is there any other letter? So the secretary said, one more, and that's the last one. Well, let's read that last one and finish. So the last one, he said, I am 60 years old. I have experienced 40 years. I know the Bible. I preach in many languages, in many cities, in many lands. Many they accept it, and many they refuse. Some of them discourage me. Some of them they put me in prison. The religious leader disavowed me and spit upon me and even imprisoned me. If you wanted me to teach as a Sunday school teacher, I do the best that I can with my ability. So the secretary said, shall I call him? So the committee jumped up, call him a rebel, a prisoner, a jailbird, a panastat. The religious leader opposed to religious leader? No way. So one of the committee said, what's his name? The secretary said, he signs his name Apostle Paul. Even if the Apostle Paul come today to us, they're going to send him out. Dostoevsky, in his novel, My Brother Karamazov, he stated this. The Inquisition in the 17th century was in trial two brethren. And when the inquisitors convened and to try for those two, because they did not compel or comply with the order of papacy, the door was open, and a man, serene and austere, in the room. The president, who are you? My name is Jesus of Nazareth. What are you doing here? I like to defend this defendant. Jesus of Nazareth, we don't know you. Threw him out. And Dostoevsky remarked, even if Jesus of Nazareth will come today as he came in the first advent with just make healing and talk that no man talk again, they will do the same thing as they did that time. We don't know you. That's the teachers the people wanted today. But we are favored. We are the Lord's people. We are come out from the darkness. How are we going to fare? And then I'm closing what Peter said. And I finish with that. 2 Peter 3:10-15. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the midst of heaven, and in which the heaven shall pass away with great noise, and the elements shall be melted with a fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of person you ought to be? And this is it. What manner of person? When we see all those things, we see the signs that we are. What manner of person we ought to be? I like to be faithful. And I'm sure you like to be faithful. So be it. May the Lord have his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Hodges. We appreciate those remarks on the signs of the times, something that God's people will not be ignorant of. At the end time, in the end of this age, the end of the Gentile times, just before the establishment of Christ's kingdom, God's people will not be ignorant of the signs of the times. It will be a comfort and encouragement to them to make their calling and election sure. While there is trouble, distress of nations, there is no trouble in the hearts of the Lord's people, because they are dwelling in the quietness and confidence of the Lord's great power. So we're thankful that we have that privilege, brethren.